Oh, goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
All right. I'm in a little bit of a confusion because Betty is in the room where I normally record.
Yeah.
The acoustics might be different. I might be interrupted more because I'm in the living room that has two different doorways, none of which are closed. But we'll see how this goes.
I'm doing something different too.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
It's the same, but I'm at home.
Hey,
and I got something to
you've
say
been
about
at home
that
before.
Too. What's that?
Oh, what's that?
Well, I did something today that I have never had to do before.
Oh my goodness! What? Ever in your life?
Never out of necessity. I'll say that maybe when I was a teenager, I did this just for fun, but today I had to do it out of necessity. Now, I was, like I said earlier, I was over in Magnolia because I'm going to be cat sitting for your friend and mine, AJ Epstein.
Hey!
And
AJ Epstein, very big friend of the arts.
Indeed.
That guy.
So,
and a kind man bought me the best toaster, in my opinion, I've ever owned.
He and his lady friend Kate are going to L.A. next week because AJ's mom is having hip surgery. And so they are going down there to take care of AJ's mom. And in the meantime, they needed somebody to watch their cats. They have 2 6-month-old cats. And so I was over at AJ's house. He lives in Magnolia, and he was showing me the routine. And so I was...
Wait a second. Now, if I can interrupt you for just a second. Haven't you house-sit or cat-sit for AJ in Magnolia before?
I have.
Okay.
Years ago in the past.
Yes, because I was there, I think. Not there in the house, but I was there in Seattle when you were doing that.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
I've done this before, but not in quite some time.
He
hasn't had cats in quite some time. But anyway.
A refresher is good.
Yes.
Though, here's a question. Is it the same house?
It's the same house, but now there's a new key, and there's an alarm code I need to know. And,
gotcha.
You know, this is what the cats like to do, and the cats get to go in here. The cats don't get to go over here. That kind of just learning the rules of the new cats. So I'm coming home, and I get home. And my parking garage is, you know, it's a standard apartment complex, downtown Seattle apartment complex parking garage. And the slot that I have is marked compact. Now, I have a very compact car. I have a 1991 Toyota Tercel, which is a very compact car. And there are, so I'm up against a wall. And there's another slot next to me, and then there's a cement column, you know, holding the building up. And both of these slots are compact. And the slot next to me is not reserved for any one apartment unit. Like nobody has rented that part. Nobody has rented that parking spot out.
So different people park in there.
Different people park in there. What you can do through my apartment complex is you can actually like reserve slots for friends, I guess. Like if you have somebody visiting, you can say to the leasing office, "Hey, my friend is visiting. Can I rent this parking spot or a parking spot for them to park for the 2 days or 3 days they're going to be visiting with me?" And the leasing office is like, "Sure, that'll be X many dollars." So it's not unusual for there to be a different car parked there, you know, every other day. And it's not unusual for this car to not be a compact car. And so today, and I'm getting to what I did for the first time soon enough. So today,
I figured that
you're tracking.
It's coming.
I roll into my apartment complex. It's about 4 o'clock, so I have 15 minutes until I have to be up in my apartment and on this podcast with you.
Yes,
there's a car parked next to me, and it is a full size car, and it's like a Toyota Camry or something, and this person has parked very poorly.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, well, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna like, I have to park on my spot because I need to be up in my apartment and on this call, which is very important.
Yeah, otherwise, so, I appreciate that.
Otherwise, yeah. I'd you know, like park in one of the handicap spots, and I'd go into the leasing office, and I'd raise a stink. I'd be like, "Can you get this person to park their car better?" Because there is, you know, they are over the line. Their wheels are not even on the line; they are on my side of the line.
Oh no!
So I'm like, well, screw it. I'm gonna park here anyway. So I gingerly, I'm getting really good at squeezing my car into my tiny parking spot. So I have maybe 2 inches on the right side of my car before my, you know, I knock my mirror off. And I have maybe an inch and a half between my driver's side mirror and this car's mirror.
Yes.
And in fact, the mirrors may be overlapping, but I think this mirror is above mine. So when they pull out, if they pull out, they're not going to knock mirrors off.
As long as they're, I don't know, a good driver, which you...
As long as they're paying attention, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So...
Very trusting.
I finally park my car, and I'm like, well, now how am I going to get out? I open up my door, and even if I bang it up against the car next to me, there's only probably about 5 to 6 inches. Now...
And you're a slender guy,
I'm not a big dude, but even I can't fit through that. So I did, I popped the trunk, and I pulled the back seat of my car has access to the trunk. So I folded the back seat down, and I got out of my car through the trunk. And I've never had to do that before. I've always been able to open my door. So today, for the very first time, out of necessity, I got out of my car through the trunk. And I left the back seats down in case I had to get back in through the trunk.
Now that's smart. That's a good.
And I got to tell you, I'm still a little peeved. Now, you know, I don't get angry. Yeah. You know me. I don't get angry very often. I get frustrated easily, but I don't get angry.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I'm angry now. I'm just more like, ugh, I hate people.
Yeah. Hey, speaking about that, I saw Green Room.
Have you
seen the movie Green Room?
I have not.
Oh, you should see it.
What's it about?
It's... Okay, it's about a band who play a show, and after they play their show, they witness a crime, and then they have to kind of deal with that.
Does this crime take place in the green room?
That is why it is called Green Room. it is good. I would say it's... Here's the thing. I was telling Jennifer about this. I give it a 9 out of 10. The only reason I gave it a 9 out of 10 instead of a 10 out of 10 is that I want to feel good after watching a movie. instead of feeling anxious and, you know, like that the world is bad.
So I take it this movie does not give you hope for humanity.
No, not really.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty good. The other thing.
Is it on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. Amazon Prime.
Ah.
Speaking of Amazon Prime, of course, I've watched all of The Tick now, the new season of The Tick.
Which I still have not seen.
Starring Peter Serafinowicz, who on a recent podcast corrected someone with the pronunciation of his name. It's Serafinowicz.
Really? Because I was gonna correct you because I've been saying Serafinowicz.
So have I, but apparently it's Serafinowicz.
Well,
so,
there you go.
There you go. And of course, Griffin Newman, who plays Arthur. And like I said, the key to The Tick being good is not The Tick. I mean, it is. You know, obviously, if there's a bad Tick, it's not going to be great.
Yeah.
But Arthur is really the cast you gotta watch out for, and I think Griffin Newman is great as Arthur.
Do you remember who played Arthur in the previous live action version of The Tick?
Yeah, I don't know the guy's name. I know who it is, yeah, but I don't know who he is. And then, of course, Mickey Dolenz did the voice.
Yeah, for the first season, Arthur. They replaced him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know the name of the guy who played Arthur, but I vividly can see his face. But for me, the only Arthur that now matters, Griffin Newman as Arthur.
I have not seen the new take, but I have seen all of the Grand Tour that is available on Amazon Prime.
Ah, yes. The Grand Tour, which, again, if I'm remembering correctly, this is that car show that you like.
It is that car show that I like. It's the three, it's basically Top Gear, but rebranded as,
yes,
the Grand Tour.
Top Gear, that is what I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah, and it's the British guy. And then maybe other British guys also? But there's one British guy that
like
I know about.
Three British guys.
Yeah. Three British guys. You know the one I'm talking about, though. The older one with the curly hair guy.
Yeah.
That guy. That's the one that I think of whenever I think of Top Gear. Well, that's good. Here's a question for you. Now, you know that I was staying away from news and Twitter and all that for a while. And it didn't happen at this time. I actually just got back into it. But there was an article that I glimpsed at about a guy who did kind of the same thing but had an article written about him.
Okay.
And I was like, oh man, Ben, I'm sorry if I was like super annoying when that was happening.
Did this article make you think that doing what you did is annoying?
Talking about it all the time. Talking about it at all.
Talking about how you don't watch you don't read the news?
Yeah. Sorry, Jennifer has walked in. She's handing me the phone. Let me check something really quick, Ben.
I want to read this article.
So the article is, you know, hey, this guy didn't do this, and now he didn't pay attention, and now he's, you know, a jerk or whatever. But no, he's not a jerk, though. Oh, no.
Oh, they published
my
article.
Hey, wait a second. All right, so here's something that happened. I was trying to give Jennifer $40, and I thought I did, but apparently I didn't complete the very last step. And so now
like
I'm giving her $40.
Via like Venmo or something like that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, our accounts are kind of linked. Sorry. And so the thing is that we're buying food because we leave in 2 days for our little trip.
That's right. So does that make this our marathon recording session?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Ben, but I can tell you this. I have a book that I just put out, right?
Yeah.
And I thought of something that would be fun.
Uh-oh.
For next week's podcast.
Oh, God.
Because this podcast, we're going to talk about current events and all that kind of stuff. I think for next week, instead of talking about what's going on in the news or whatever, we'll just talk about my book for a while.
Oh.
And it may not be an entire hour. It might be shorter. Oh, what? You don't want to talk about my book, Ben?
I've not read your book. How are we supposed to talk about it?
I know. That's the best part. It's going to
no.
be great. And ooh, who knows? Maybe we'll do something else a little bit. All I'm saying is that next week's show, Ben, is going to be a slightly different format
from
the show.
Tune in for all of our listeners. Tune in next week.
And it might be a little bit shorter. And who knows? It might be because I don't know if I'll be able to sustain a full other show in the time that I don't know what we're talking about.
Here's something we can do, which I proposed last week. We can actually just do, instead of doing two full-length shows, we can do two half-length shows.
And see, this is what I'm saying, is I would rather do a full show, standard format, following the thing that I'm used to, and then another half-length show.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
And we are getting a late start today because, as I said, I had to escape my car through the trunk.
Yes.
Because I was late.
And so here's my question for you, Ben. Now, normally, we stay away from, you know, looking things up and all that, and we are still doing that for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, this is what I was getting to, that I've stopped. I have now started looking at news again, and scant minutes before I called you, I was reading that John Bolton,
yeah, I saw
is now the guy who is, he's, I think, National Security Council. What is it?
So I think because I just briefly glanced through the news before we started recording, H.R. McMaster, who is the National Security Advisor? Is that what is it? Was that his job?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so he's either resigning or got fired or something, or he already did that, and I'm behind the times. And yeah, John Bolton is taking over.
All right, now, this is the only thing I remembered about John Bolton.
His mustache?
Is that his mustache is a different color than his hair. And right before this got on,
which one is fake?
What's that?
Which is fake, his mustache or his hair?
Yeah, I want to say the hair probably.
Is he wearing a wig or is he wearing a fake mustache?
Or he's because the thing is, right? His hair is dark, and his mustache is white.
Now let me ask you something.
You know, now I know some people who have white beards,
yeah,
and darker hair, like an actual like thing that happens to them.
Yeah, yeah. It seems and like your facial hair gets grayer before your head hair does.
Yeah, it's and I mean my facial hair was red and my regular hair wasn't as red. So maybe it'll happen to me. Maybe that's the curse of Bolton that I make fun of his mustache and then I get the same.
So let me,
because there's a patch. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Are you just doing that yes and thing because I mentioned his mustache, or were you really going to say that the thing you remembered about him was that his mustache and his hair were different colors?
Well, this is the point I was going to make, is that in the most recent photo, his hair and his mustache are almost matching now.
Ooh.
They almost match each other. And I posted a thing of saying, say what you will about him, but at least his mustache matches now. And I had a before and after picture.
I did not see that.
But, well, this is why, because I deleted it.
Oh.
And the reason is that somebody else, not me, 3 minutes before I posted that, posted, I might be paraphrasing here, but after long negotiations, Bolton's hair and mustache have finally found common ground. And I was like, okay, I can't leave mine up. This is 10 times better. So I just posted that one. Instead.
I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll post a joke to Twitter. And I only think about this when I post a joke to Twitter, never to Facebook because screw Facebook. But every once in a while, when I post something to Twitter, I'm like, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, this isn't that original, and somebody has probably posted something similar than this. But then I think, you know what? I thought of this organically, so screw it. I'm going to leave it up. And if it's the same as somebody else's joke, whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to look and make sure that somebody else who I don't know has made the same joke.
See, and I applaud you, Ben. That is a great way to think about it. Jennifer has often criticized you and I. Because she's seen our creative process where we come up with something and we're like, oh, let's do that. And then one of us will go, oh no, I think so-and-so has already done
that.
We
do often self-censor ourselves because we think it's derivative.
Exactly. And that's the big thing is that, but yeah, it's the same kind of thing. If I make a joke and it's too good, right? I'm like, oh, this joke is really, really good. Even though I'm the one that thought of it, I still look up to see if somebody else has already made the joke.
But you've had a traumatic experience in that regard, and so I don't blame you for that.
Yeah. I really, it gets under my skin.
Yeah. No, I totally understand
when people think that I have ripped off something. Now, here's the thing: is if I have done it, you know,
right?
I will usually cite the thing and say, well, as so and so once said. And the reason is because a friend of mine who I like a lot, but was at a party one time and he was doing a George Carlin routine, but he wasn't saying that it was a George Carlin routine. He was just saying it. And I'm like, and it bugged me.
This
right?
is why.
Maybe unduly.
No, I totally get that. This is why I'm so glad that the internet and social media did not exist when I was in my formative years, because I stole jokes all the time.
Yeah,
when I was a kid.
I really didn't, Ben. I really
Well, then you're a lot better. You're a better man than I am, Paul. But yeah,
and,
no,
and here's
unabashedly,
why,
I stole jokes when I was a kid.
I will tell you exactly why. There was a friend of mine when I was in grade school, and when I say a friend of mine when I was in grade school, now you and I may have a different grade school experience, but for me, grade school, I never really had friends. I had like tentative allies who kind of would hang out with me and stuff until something weird would happen, and then they'd become friends with another kid, and it was all very Machiavellian and posturing. But anyway, this guy who I was friends with, we got into a big fight because he wrote a short story for our short story class. This is in like fifth grade, I think. And it was just Time Bandits. I mean, he wrote Time Bandits. And the teacher was talking about how inventive it was and, you know, and it just sort of ate me up. And I was like, it's Time Bandits, right? Now, here's the thing. This is important for the story.
Yeah.
I had never seen Time Bandits.
Well, how did you know?
Because I had this experience. You probably didn't ever experience this, but when I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to watch TV. I didn't go to a lot of movies. I could watch like an hour of TV a day. I didn't go to a lot of movies. So I would beg friends of mine to describe the plots of movies to me.
Oh, I see.
And my friend Jeff told me about Time Bandits, and he explained it to me. Now, it also means that I have some very bizarre ideas about what some movies are like, because I've had them described to me by, you know, grade school kids. Like, Altered States was one of them. If you've ever seen the movie Altered States, will know how weird that is. But if you haven't, watch it sometime, and trying to describe a third grader trying to describe a Ken Russell film to another third grader is kind of insane. That's all I'm saying.
Here's my most blatant example of stealing something.
Yes.
When I was when I was a senior in high school, in my drama class, we had to come up with scenes, right? We had to write our own scenes. And I basically stole the concept of whose line is it anyway? Because I really loved the TV show.
Oh, sure.
So we did whose line is it anyway in my drama class, like my group did. We did all the games. We did.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and here's why I excused it. It was still improv, right? We still came up with the scenes. It was just we played those games.
I don't know. Have you ever heard of comedy sports, Ben?
I'll be honest. I don't remember if I attributed the creation, because I remember we got a good grade on it, but I don't remember if I said to my teacher if that was an original thing, or if I said, yeah, I'm stealing this from this TV show I really like, this British TV show that is on Comedy Central. I don't remember
that part.
Well,
because the reason I'm asking is that Whose Line Is It Anyway, you know, is not the only
right
thing that came up with those jokes.
Right.
I mean, those formats. Those I formats, should say, not those jokes. Like, So you're kind of in the clear. I guess.
I mean, honestly, it doesn't really eat at me all that much. I'm like, my high school diploma is a sham because I lied in my drama class.
Did you have? Here's a question for you. Did you have a guy behind a desk saying things to the people on
stage? No, we did not have a Clive Anderson.
You see, in my opinion, the absence of a Clive Anderson makes it okay. The thing that I like about Clive Anderson that I really think the American one missed
with Drew Carey
is that Clive Anderson with Drew Carey is that Clive Anderson wasn't funny or didn't seem funny.
Well, he had that dry British wit.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying is I think they would have done better if they would have gotten like Alex Trebek.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some or like Peter Jennings or some kind of, you know, a person who isn't a comedian.
Yeah.
To read the things. I think it would have gone better.
I want
to
say you're right, but I got to be honest. I think I only watched like one or two episodes of the American version.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I mean, they've got the same. I mean,
it's basically the same thing. And Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie were like all up in it.
But like I said, yeah, if they would have gotten a more serious person to read the things, I think it would have gone better.
Who would be like the ideal host of the American version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Like a dry, like maybe even like a not like an educated, but an academic. Who would be a good academic? Somebody who's smart.
Well here's the thing. I mean, one thing that you could I was gonna say you could do Bill Nye. But it doesn't fit with his science. I mean, he's really used his science persona for everything.
I was going to say Barack Obama.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Yeah, that would be quite all right. Noam Chomsky.
Some sort of somebody you see on the news like, shows who's not a...
Like,
a well-known commentator, hate to say but not it, but a comedian.
Like, you know, if it had been earlier, if it had been a contemporary of Whose Line, right? If they had been going at the same time,
yeah.
I could totally see them using Bill Nye for that.
Yeah.
Not Bill Nye. Oh, my gosh. Ben Stein, I mean.
Ben Stein, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because he had absolutely no... I mean, that was the big thing, is that he had absolutely no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah.
Kind of. In that.
Jimmy Kimmel's breakout role.
Brent Spiner. Be interesting. But no. I mean, now I... Let me think.
Richard Attenborough.
Sir Richard Attenborough.
Sir Richard Attenborough. Like I keep thinking of like I want to say Ken Burns, you know, but I'm trying to think of
non white guys too, like B. Arthur.
Oh right.
Again, going with Star Trek people, LeVar Burton.
Right.
That would actually be. I don't know. LeVar Burton is a little bit too positive.
I'm trying to think of in the realm of non entertainment industry.
Oh, okay.
So like
somebody
you would see on like Joan Embry from the San Diego Zoo, you know, just some random person who is familiar with television, right? Cuz she always went on Johnny Carson's TV show with like spider monkeys or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's not all about making the jokes.
Yeah, an author. Oh, sorry, Ben. I'm getting sleepy.
Is it late for you?
It is kind of late, but just because I've been waking up early.
Yeah.
Oh. What I was going to say, John Bolton. Wait, John Bolton. It's been staring us in the face the whole time. The point I was going to make about John Bolton is that I don't remember him except for the mustache. This is my original point, getting all the way back. This is what it's like to talk to me in real life, everybody. The original point I was going to make is that he is apparently causing a whole bunch of people on Twitter to like freak out and say, well, it was nice knowing everybody.
Huh?
Was he like a big let's go to war with people guy? I don't know what they're freaking out about, basically.
It's the same mentality that this administration has when Trump was at a White House event and there was a photo op and he's like posing with a bunch of people and he just casually said, this is the calm before the storm. And everybody's like, what storm? What storm are you talking about?
Yeah.
Mr. Trump, storm? You'll see. Have you heard the latest, the latest Twitter feud that Trump started?
Is it the Joe Biden
thing? It is the Joe Biden thing.
Wait. Trump didn't start that, though.
No, Trump didn't start it.
Uncle Joe started that.
He started it on Twitter. So, like, Biden didn't say this on Twitter. Biden said this on a speech or something. And he's like, if I was in high school with Donald Trump, I'd take him behind the play sheds and beat the crap out of him. Something to that effect. And then Trump basically challenged him.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If those guys want to fight, let them do it. You know, why not? low tax from Something Awful Forums.
I'd totally pay-per-view a Trump v. Biden fight.
That's what I was thinking, is that, you know, make have all the money go to charity, whatever. Yeah. People would love it. Low tax from Something Awful fought Uwe Boll. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's a film director. And the film director guy totally won in that fight.
Yeah.
Because he's actually a boxer or something. I give props to the people who they got into the ring and got beat up by him. But the thing is, Casey St. Ange, who I follow on Twitter, had a good point, which was, she doesn't really need Joe Biden doing that. We don't need Joe Biden doing that.
Right.
Nobody cares if two old white guys want to fight each other. Let them.
And I saw another Twitter post.
Don't act like you're doing me a favor.
I saw another Twitter post where Biden's actually in the wrong. I mean, not counting what Trump is saying, but Biden shouldn't have started that because that's how schoolyard bullies think, and bullying is something. I know. Hey, we had a band called Schoolyard Bullies.
We did. And that's exactly what
you need. You need to stop with that toxic masculinity, because
that's right.
Dangerous.
And that's kind of the same sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. The term. Hey, let's whip them out and measure them kind of thing.
Right.
That people are talking about. Hey, speaking about measuring them. Follow me on this segue. Let's measure how we did with getting things right on the
segment
last
we call
podcast. Corrections. Ding. Okay. While Ben pulls up any corrections that people have sent to Ben's, what's that?
Anyway, go ahead.
Did you already pull it up? Ben's email at yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Yeah.
People write in, they tell us what we did wrong, because Ben and I do not look up anything. We try to use the power of our brains to remember all the stuff we're talking about.
And sometimes our brains don't work so well. It's open to anyone if you want to write in with a correction, or if you want to write in with a question that you would like us to try to answer without using our brains. Wait, hold on. Without using Google, with only using our brains. we'll try answering questions without our brains sometimes to see how that goes too. But no, go ahead and send it to that email address that I just said. And that is probably somewhere on our show notes, maybe. And we will read your corrections on this podcast. That's kind of what we do. And Ben, do we have any corrections today?
We do indeed.
And who are these corrections from, may I ask, Ben?
Why, none other than your wife, Jennifer Pratt.
Hey, Jennifer Pratt, always the best in correction submission. Very, very, very happy that Jennifer, A, listens to the podcast, and B, submits corrections to it.
All right.
Are there a lot? Are there a little? What are
no,
we looking at this time?
Just a couple, but some of them are quite wordy. And one, it requires an explanation, which is the first one. We were talking about celebrity endorsements, I think. I don't remember. I never listened to this show. And I said something to the effect of questioning where that would fall on the Bill Hicks scale of celebrity endorsements.
Oh, yes.
And she says, please to splain. I do not know what that is. And
Oh, right.
What that is basically a routine from Bill Hicks where he complains about specifically Jay Leno hawking Doritos. Now, I think Bill Hicks and Jay Leno, Bill Hicks had some sort of beef with Jay Leno because Jay Leno was the butt of a lot of Bill Hicks' routines.
Yeah. Well, in general, in comedy, when Jay Leno became the host of The Tonight Show, he got to be the host of The Tonight Show through what some people said were,
there was a movie made about this.
Yeah. Think about this, Ben. Everybody thought that Letterman should get The Tonight Show.
Even Carson thought Letterman should get The Tonight Show.
But instead, Leno got the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And then Conan O'Brien got the Tonight Show. And Leno once again kept him from getting the Tonight. Oh, that's so weird.
So anyway, Bill Hicks has a routine where he says, if you're a celebrity and you're a hawking Doritos, you're off the artistic roll call. Unless you're just starting out, in which case he can forgive you. But if you're Jay Leno and you're hawking Doritos, you're basically nobody.
Didn't he also, and I'm trying to find a way to put this in where you don't have to bleep it out. we self-censor on this program, but it's fine.
We like to have the actually, iTunes clean tag.
It is actually like performing a sex act on the devil.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a huge sound effects and everything.
Yeah. I want to say it, but I'm not gonna anyway.
No. It's in this day and age, trying to keep a podcast clean is actually kind of fun. It's a little weird.
I think what sets us apart from the rest of the two white guys who think they're funny. Genre of podcast.
Do we think we're funny though?
Oh
Ben,
no.
Honestly,
no. That's what the two white guy podcast genre is. It's just two dudes who think they're funny and think, we have such great conversations. Everybody should listen to us.
We're smart. Everybody should. We'll tell you how to fix things.
We're not trying to be funny, nor are we trying to be smart. Anyway,
no. So anyway, yes. So that's what that is. After we've look. It's not mansplaining if someone has asked you to explain something. It can't be. At that point, it just becomes explaining.
I'm a man explaining things, but you asked for it. Oh, that makes it even worse.
Oh, my God. I didn't even... maybe that's it. Maybe just explaining is what should stop. Nobody tell anybody anything anymore.
I wouldn't. Okay, so here's where I fall on that. We're not explaining it.
I'm pounding the wall with my fist while
we're not
talking.
Explaining it. We're clarifying.
Clarifying. Okay, that's fine.
We're man clarifying.
On request. Anyway, on request.
Let's
so
move on.
That's what that was. Yes.
So we talked about this unfortunate person who was part of a film crew who died when she was hit by a train.
Yes.
Well, I don't think we got anything wrong. Yes. Well, we might have gotten something wrong, but Jennifer goes on to write about the details of that incident. So I'm just going to read what she wrote.
Yes.
The person on a field shoot who was hit by a train was Sarah Jones, a 27-year-old camera assistant working on the movie Midnight Rider. She was not an actor or a stunt person. The details of the situation are absolutely infuriating. The director, Randall Miller, was sentenced to 10 years for involuntary manslaughter. I did not know that part. Six people were injured, including one woman who nearly lost her left arm. Mr. Miller actually moved the shot from a relatively safe place right at the edge of the trestle to the middle of the trestle. The crew and actor William Hurt were told that if a train was spotted, they had 60 seconds to get off the trestle. Well, that should have been a red flag right there. The train, at that particular time, was going 60 miles an hour. Sarah and another crew member were yanking on a set piece, trying to remove it. They knew it was a passenger train and thought the set piece, which was a bed with a metal frame, might derail the train. There was virtually no clearance on either side of the trestle to just step aside, on either side of the trestle to say, step aside, pull in your gut, and hope for the best. And then Jennifer goes on to say, the thing that just chaps my ass is how avoidable it was. Okay, they couldn't get the train company to accommodate them, but trains have this magical thing called a schedule. These schedules are so important that standard time was basically created to keep the train schedules accurate. You can actually find out when a train is going to leave a station and at what time it will leave the station. And then you can do an annoying algebra problem that will tell you when the train is likely to be headed to where you happen to be. Magic. Well, that's why we had all those math story problems. This is me. That's why we had all those math story problems where train A leaves Chicago at 6:49 p.m. traveling 20 miles an hour. Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, wait a second. We are talking about the most, like, the poster child for story problems, really?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
Ben.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Math saves lives. It's an unfortunate situation all around. And yeah, it was avoidable. And I did not know that the director was sentenced to prison.
I did not know that either. Here's something that my brain has just come up with.
What's that?
Depending on what kind of shot you're doing, why not have the shot happen right where the train is leaving the station? Like, you know, oh, I want it to be a desolate place in the middle of nowhere with a train. Well, you know, just sort of wait until there's nothing in the shot, but you're only, like, say, a mile away from the train station.
Well, and also, I'm putting these pieces together. So the set piece was a bed with a metal frame, but it was on a train trestle, an active train trestle. Was this some sort of dream sequence? And if it was...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Green screen that noise, yo.
Because it's a dream sequence. Although, have I talked to you already about the ritual? Did we talk about that on this podcast?
Well, start talking about it and I'll let you know.
The Ritual is a show on Netflix. The Ritual, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's a show on Netflix about four friends who get trapped in the wilderness, sort of.
Okay.
And there's this monster that's hunting them. Do you plan on ever seeing this movie, Ben?
Probably not. And I have such a terrible memory anyway, so if I do watch it a couple years down the road, I probably will not remember what you said.
All right, so here's this thing. Get ready for spoilers, everybody.
Spoilers for The Ritual coming up.
The beginning opens with this guy who he and his friend witness a robbery. And his friend is actually part of the robbery, right? And the guy is hiding. But when I say he's part of the robbery, I mean, like, the guy is robbing the store, and then he turns to the friend and say, hey, and now you give me, you know, what you've got.
Okay.
And it's this cringy scene because it's like these guys are friends. So it's like you and me. Imagine you and me, you're getting robbed, and I could do something, but I'm hoping that everything is going to be fine and that you'll just get your stuff stolen and then, you know, there'll be no problem.
Okay.
And then his friend is killed.
Oof.
In the middle of the robbery in a horrible way. And this is in a package store, you know, liquor and convenience store things and all that. So there are some shots in here where the guy is in the middle of the woods, right? The monster is coming, and all of a sudden, fluorescent lights will flicker above him, and there will be shelves in the woods, and he's running from this thing now. And as he's running, there are all these shelves that he's running into and hitting and all that. And this is all practical. All the effects are practical, and it's great, and it's totally unnerving.
Yeah.
So
sounds like the holodeck is malfunctioning.
Right, exactly like that. And it was a really good effect. And I'm not saying that that's what you know, this next thing could have been or should have been or anything like that. I'm just saying that maybe that's what the director was like. He's like, we don't want to green screen this. We want it to look as real as possible.
No, I
still a problem.
I will see. That's the thing. I get that. I, too, am of the opinion that it was probably a better shot with the actual bed on an actual train trestle. But if you don't have a train trestle that you know is deactivated, that you know is decommissioned, maybe that's the word for train tracks, you know, what are you going to do? They told the cast and crew they had a minute to get off the train trestle once a train was spotted.
I mean, yeah, that's
WTF,
insanity.
Yo.
That's insanity because, like, did you not know that you had that set piece?
Right.
I mean, at what point in time? Yeah.
This is why this director was sentenced for involuntary manslaughter, because all of this is absurd. Anyway, we got one more correction. Let's not focus on that too much.
Cool.
We got one more correction. We were talking about 911 centers. And you said in the where you are calling 911, you call the police directly. When you call 911 in Seattle, you call a 911 center, and they call the police, or they dispatch the police.
Well, I believe what I said was we were at the police station or the city safety thing.
Yeah.
And the guy who was answering, who we saw answer the 911 call, was an actual officer.
Right.
And then I think you said that in Seattle, you wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, Seattle has dedicated 911 call centers, but they're not. It's not the police station. They will.
Right.
They will dispatch officers. They don't call the police dispatcher, and the police dispatcher calls the officers. They dispatch the officers themselves, but they also do all the other things too. And it's not like the police department. Anyway, she says the 911 center is a thing here. The police officer who took the call is the person to whom the 911 call was routed. That police officer will take the call, and the 911 center person will usually stay on the line for a couple seconds to make sure the call was transferred successfully. Then the 911 center person will go back to taking incoming calls and routing them to the appropriate entity. This is not how it works everywhere, but it's how they do it here.
So everything that she said...
Yeah.
Is pretty much correct, except that the person that answered the phone, right, was dressed as a police officer. They stayed on the phone with the person until the ambulance got there.
So the person, okay, so yeah, I don't think 911 people all over the place are police, but that's
right.
How it is wherever you were. So whatever, I guess, you know.
Right. The thing I was a little bit confused about is it sounded like she was saying that there was an intermediary between the person who called and the police officer that was sitting behind the desk taking the call, and I'm saying that that is not the case.
And
the person
then
called, he answered the phone, said 911, what is your emergency?
Yeah.
And then he said, ma'am, stay on the line. He dispatched the ambulance. The ambulance went, and then he got back on the line with her and said, okay, ambulance is en route.
Ambulance is coming.
I'm going to stay with you. Yeah.
So
he was basically the first person she talked to when she called.
So Jennifer concludes this by saying, can we remind folks that the non-emergency number at their local police and fire stations are the best option if you aren't sure whether the situation you are in or witnessing is an actual emergency? And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I do not know what the non-emergency number is here in Seattle, but that's a good thing to know.
I used to have it programmed into my phone because I would call them a lot for you know, things that I would see. Like, hey, there's a guy beating up another guy. Right. Is something,
yeah,
I would normally call 911 for.
Yeah.
But hey, there's a power line just sort of sitting in the middle of the sidewalk here.
Yeah.
Not
I don't know if it's live. Don't know if it's not. Don't want to find out. Call somebody.
Exactly.
I actually was at Annex when we had our VoIP phones installed, and the guy to test the emergency number.
Uh-huh.
Actually, there's a thing. If you're I don't know if just regular people can do this, but if you're a phone technician to test the emergency services on a VoIP phone, you call 911, and when they answer, you say, this is a non-emergency test call. And if they're available to assist you, they will assist you. Or they will say something like, this is not a good time, or something else, and they will hang up on you.
Yep.
But when they immediately answer and you clarify what you're doing, then they will play along. They will help you do your job, which I didn't know you could do.
Oh, well, and I'd be a little bit nervous about.
I would too.
This is a test VoIP call? No, it's not. It's a test. I'm just testing the thing. See, that's the.
Yeah.
Deal. Oh, speaking about shouting, no, it's not. Hey, Betty!
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do the Calling for Betty segment, and then that's going to be it until next week.
Until next
week.
Yep.
So, hey, Betty.
Hi.
Now, Ben, as you know, we, and when I say we, I mean me, Betty, and Jennifer, are going on vacation. And that's going to be fun. I was wondering if you could tell Betty, here, Betty, put your head in the, put your, this in your ears to get, so you can hear. Can you hear Ben, Betty?
Hey, Betty, this is Ben.
Yeah, I can hear him.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So Ben, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been to Universal Studios in Florida?
I have not.
Have you ever been to
Orlando?
Orlando.
I have not.
Have you ever seen the movie Orlando? Which,
I have. I know who Orlando Bloom is. Does that count?
Oh, that counts.
And I have been to Universal Studios in California.
Oh, wait. Universal Studios in California. Well, that kind of fits. Was there a Harry Potter place there?
No, this was back in probably 1984.
Wait, there was a Universal Studios in 1984?
I was a kid. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I think it was before I was 10.
What? So wait, did they have rides and stuff there?
Yeah, there was a Jaws ride where
you're on a
tram.
Do you guys want me to leave?
Oh, okay.
No, buddy, this is very fascinating to a 12-year-old. You're on a tram, so, and the tram Jaws comes out of the water.
She's gone. She's totally gone. She just let the room. Betty, come back. Betty, come back. You there was also see a part. She was walking exaggerated. All right. So
why, anyway, Paul, why were you asking me all of this?
Because we're going to Universal Studios. That's yeah. the plan of where we're going to be.
Should
so
be fun.
Betty, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're trying to figure out the surface area of a pyramid.
Oh my God! No! 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 No!
Betty is doing. Betty is doing very well in school. Betty, how fun is school? How much do you like it?
It's all right.
Ben, I'm going to say this. Maybe Betty doesn't want me to say. Betty is not the biggest fan of school. And the fact that she is doing so well in something that she finds kind of annoying is... I am a proud dad, is what I'm saying.
What grade is she in? What grade are you in when you're in 12?
When you're 12, you're in sixth grade. That's what grade she is in. And she will be in seventh grade next. Seventh grade is when I remember like starting to realize that I wasn't like the coolest kid in school, but I was like that there were kids that were younger than me and that they were kind of looking up to me a little bit. I don't know if I'm true about that or not, but
seventh grade,
Betty is once again leaving. It's funny too, because when she leaves, she does this sort of exaggerated walk. Like, oh, now she's shut the door. She's totally, no, I think she's still at the door. Maybe Betty, come on back.
I remember seventh grade pretty well. I was, that was my first year of middle school. And I remember
she's totally shut the door now. That's it.
A nervous little kid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, did you move from one school to another? That might be part of it.
It was a new school because in my school district, elementary school was through sixth grade, and then middle school was seventh and eighth grade. So I still knew a lot of my classmates. I still knew, but there was still a lot of new classmates because like 3 to 4 different elementary schools dumped into my one middle school.
Yes.
And it was just a new experience. I still kind of get that kind of nervous these days when I have to go through a new experience. Like walking into a new job and all that kind of fun stuff still kind of brings out that school anxiety to me.
Any new place, and we can only imagine how nervous John Bolton is going to be when he walks into the Trump right. This is the thing, man. I don't know. Someone, I think it was Janine Garofalo, who said that getting offered Saturday Night Live was like getting offered a smallpox-infested blanket.
Oh, jeez.
Where it's like, gee, thanks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do wonder what working for the Trump White House, is it, I mean, do you feel like, you know, I can change him? That sort of thing, or do you feel like, yeah, this is it? Finally,
I don't even want to assume what people are thinking when they agree to join that White House, unless they're hardcore Trumpists. You cannot.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
I'm sure at first you'd be like, yeah, I'm making a difference. I'm working in the government, and yeah, he's kind of a blowhard, but you know, presidency changes people. But after the year plus, maybe. Rational people are like, no, F that noise. I'm not joining that.
This is the one thing that I feel like it in my job, right?
Yeah.
And in I'd say every job that I've had, right? At some point in time, something happens where I'm like, okay, this is why this person is in charge. You see some kind of competency, some kind of, In this time of trouble, they did this and it was great. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, And, you know, I might be being uncharitable to the members of the Trump administration, but that the people who are there probably in private talk about how they're better than the people that they're working for. You know, they're probably like, oh, yeah, I can't believe I just have this feeling about the mindset of the people there. You know, if it weren't for me, this place would be...
Yeah, I mean, there are people who work at the White House regardless of what administration is in. And so I can only imagine what they're thinking at this moment.
Well, that's the whole deep state thing a little bit too, right? The people who basically, you know, they complain about, oh, there are all these people, these entrenched... I almost said Hollywood. That's a totally different... These entrenched DC insiders who, you know, are trying to stymie us. And the only thing I can think of is that they're probably used to doing their jobs. And when they see something that they know is going to mess up, try to stop it. But who knows?
Who knows?
All I know, Ben, is that it's that time again. I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe... After, say, I use the restroom or something,
right.
I might give you a call back to talk about other things.
I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to have I'm going to tease a surprise that I'm going to lay on you for next week.
Oh, cool.
So tune in next week when Ben surprises Paul.
All right. Yeah. Next week, I'll be looking forward to that surprise. And, you know, hey, let's just pick a number just randomly off the top of our heads. Let's say, 525, maybe.
That sounds like a good number.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, Paul.
Yes, Ben.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
Keep it wrong.
Oh, keep it wrong, Ben. Of course, right. Keep it wrong.
I'll talk to you next week.
How this works. Yeah. Yep. The number 525.
525.
Number.
Okay.
Keep it in mind.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye.